jump right into Ephesians chapter 6. Let's pray before we begin. Pray with me. Our Father, I thank you so much for the honor and the privilege and the joy it is just to come every Sunday morning and to sit in your word. Your word is so amazing. Your word is living. Your word, Father, it just stirs up our hearts and it brings about change. And God, we're desperate for your word. It is your word that gives direction to our paths. It is your word that is our anchor that will hold us even in the worst of circumstances. And it brings us great peace and it heals our hearts, Father. Your word helps us to grow in our faith so that when we get on our knees to pray, God, we have confidence that we're praying according to your will. And so, Father, this morning, speak to us out of your word, we pray. Say something that has our name on it this morning. God, may it be personal with us. May it bring about change within us. May it grow us and may it mature us and help us. Because, Father, we are needy women before you this morning. We're needy for a gift of your grace and of your righteousness so that we might reign in life through our Lord Jesus Christ. So speak very personally, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, this is such a rich portion of Scripture that we've got this morning. Here, Amy's your book. And there is just no way I have the gifts to really unpack everything that's in this part of Scripture on spiritual warfare. I'm going to give a feeble attempt. I'm going to try really, really hard. Oh, good. We didn't get any there? Everybody got a handout? So I feel very incompetent to communicate the rich truths that are here, but I'm going to take a stab at it. And I hope you get something from the lesson. I'm going to go slowly through the armor. I don't want to go fast, so just get ready. We're going to be in Ephesians several more weeks. And I remember that as a new Christian, I remember so clearly I was very fearful of the devil. I didn't want to think about the devil. I wouldn't let myself go there mentally. I didn't want to talk about him. I just wanted to ignore his reality. That's how I felt. I just loved God and I enjoyed that and I was so happy I was saved, but I didn't want to think about my enemy. And as I've grown in the Word and as I've grown in my Christian life and my Christian walk, this is what I've come to discover. That spiritual warfare is one of the most important subjects a Christian needs to know about. I think there are two very important subjects. I think one, spiritual gifts. You need to know what your gift is and where you fit into the body. And then you need to understand you have an enemy and he comes against you and how you're to handle that. And if you don't know those two things, you'll get confused in your Christian walk. You'll get discouraged. You can get depressed. And so Christian gifts, spiritual warfare, I think are two of the most important subjects for us to understand. Now, this is the second time that I've taught spiritual gifts in this Sunday school class. Was anybody here when I taught it the first time? Does anybody remember that? A few of you did. By the way, our Sunday school class is having a birthday. We are 6 years old. Isn't that amazing? And we started out that very first morning, we had seven ladies show up for Oasis Sunday School class. And now we've grown to over 100 on our roll. And I think we have kind of like 50, an average, I meant to call you, about an average of 50 ladies every week coming to study the Bible. And I just love teaching teenagers. I've taught teenagers for about 15 years. But tell you what, it is so much fun teaching women. Women listen. I just get up there and teach my heart out to those teenagers and they're texting and, you know, doing everything else. So we come to the final section of our book, the book of Ephesians. And I started this study last week and I'm sorry, but it didn't get taped. It's not on the internet. So if you didn't get that, I'm sorry. It's okay. But I want to start this morning by reading the verses that we covered last week. Verses 10 through 13 of chapter 6. Let's read those together. Finally, Paul says, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the full armor of God so that you will be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood. Did you know that? People aren't really your enemy. Flesh and blood's not really your enemy. But, he says, against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. Here, do you need a handout? Got one? Got one? Okay, good. Now, those are the verses we covered last week in our first lesson on spiritual warfare. And let me just give you some things we saw last week. Number one, one of the best ways to describe the Christian walk is to say the Christian life is a warfare. So that, you got to get that in your thinking. I'm in warfare. All right, so write that down. It's warfare. Number two, we saw that our strength is not in ourselves, but is in the Lord in His might. Now, we know that, but when we go to live our everyday life, don't we do it in our own strength? We handle our problems. But we've got to get this, we've got to think biblically. I'm in warfare, and my strength is in the Lord and the strength of His might, because I don't have anything to bring to the table or offer. Here's the third thing we saw last week. Victory comes only as we put on the whole armor. Now that's where your victory is going to come. So whatever this armor is, I need to thoroughly understand it. Amen? And I need to know what is it God is telling me to put on. I need to really understand it. And the fourth thing is because we have an enemy that is formidable. That's a word I want to use. He's formidable. Now, if the strength is in the Lord, and if all of this strength is available to me, and I've got this armor available, and if I do have an enemy that is so strong, and he's so comprehensive, and he's so very powerful, I mean, if it's this serious, if God is really powerful, and the armor is really so necessary, and the enemy is truly formidable, then I better be about getting that armor on. Because victory is available to me. Now, our God is powerful. God has made every provision. He's done some things, and look, there are some things I need to do. So today we're talking about what is it that I need to do? What's my part in the armor? What's my part in walking in victory? You know, the Christian life is just not fluff and God does everything and I just magically somehow. You know, it is a warfare, girls. And you know what? You're in war, you're going to get tired. Have you ever stood for a long period of time and you're just worn out? Well, you know what? God's calling us to stand. And standing takes energy and it takes your focus and your it's a battle. Now, we cannot be indifferent. I mean, I just can't go, la-la, have a la-la attitude. I've got to understand this armor and I want to get it on. Now, that's how I feel in my heart. I mean, God, whatever it is, I want it. I want to be victorious. I don't want to walk through life just barely getting by. And so I want to be able to stand in the evil day in which you and I are living. And it is an evil day. Now, very personally, I have always detested mediocrity. I don't want to be just the run-of-the-mill, just kind of get by Christian. I mean, if God has power available for me, and He does, I want to experience it in my life. I want to walk in the victory that He provides. Don't you? Don't you? And the Bible says that He's given us everything we need pertaining to life and godliness. Now, that's in 1 Peter. And He also says that if we'll seek for first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, listen to me, everything else will be added to me. I mean, ladies, the promises of God are absolutely astounding. They thrill me. And they have tremendous implications for our lives right now. You know, I'm hungry for God. I'm hungry for more. There's so much more. And I don't care where you get in your life as a Christian, there's always more. And I want to experience Him in reality daily. I want to grow and increase in my knowledge of Him. I want to win the battle. Don't you? I do. And I just love serving Him. I love teaching you Sunday school. I want to come and do it in a way. I love coming in here and sharing God's word. But I want to tell you something. The enemy does not want you here. And the enemy does not want me here. And I am in a battle. I'm in a battle. Now, the truth of the word of God is this. Power, victory is available. It's just a question of whether I'm willing to put the armor on. And that's my part. Understand what it is, appropriate it in my life. And so whatever this armor is, I want to understand it because it's the key to winning the war. Now, that is why I need you to come to Sunday school. Because you and I are in war together. And all together, we're just like this mighty army, and we're going out to battle, and we're battling in our generation. Don't miss these next lessons on the armor of the Christian, because they're critical to winning the war. So the key truths we saw, we're in a war, the power is there for us, but we must appropriate it. We cannot live our lives, our Christian lives, in a listless manner. Just going into the world, just gorging ourselves on the world, filling ourselves on the world. Bravo for you, Julie. Your generation is getting it. They're stepping out. I've heard of more Christians doing. I love how God has raised up these men who've written Crazy Love and who have written Radical. Because get radical. Did you know being a Christian is a radical thing? You're not to look like the world. But think of yourself. I mean, am I just filling myself up with the things of the world and I'm just moving along spiritually at just a little snail's pace when all of the power of the God of the universe is available to me? Yes, it's a battle. And yes, our enemy is formidable. He's invisible. I cannot touch him. I cannot outwit him. I am no match for him. He is an enemy that is operating in the supernatural realm. There's no way that me, puny me, can deal with his comprehensive system of demons with my human intellect or my human power. But, the truth of the Word of God is this. God's power is available to me. To me. Just me. I love it. And to you. But I've got to learn how to put on my whole armor. That whole system becomes impotent against me if I'm standing in the armor of God. Now, what an incredible thought. God is our strength, but that strength can only be appropriated, listen to me, in obedience on your part. So as far as the war is concerned, I can't lose because God is greater than all and His power is beyond all. But here's the deal. As Christians, the sad truth is, even though nothing can ever snatch us out of God's hand if we're truly born again, the sad truth is that it is possible for me to live my Christian life in a sloppy manner and to lose lots of the battles all along the way. And it would be because I'm unwilling to put on the whole armor of God and to stand. So that's why I'm hoping, give these lessons priority. Be here. Learn it. Review it. Get it in your heart. Now, there's something I really want you to be watching for, because like I said, Satan doesn't want you to be here on Sunday morning. So be alert. He's going to give you reasons why you can't be in Sunday school on Sunday morning. You're going to say, well, I just won't go this Sunday. Because I'm cooking lunch, or I'm doing this, or I'm really tired, I had a long week, and I woke up late, and all of these different reasons. Be alert. You come anyway. As I feebly try to share about this armor. Because these lessons are critical if you want to be a victorious Christian. So I want you to hear me. If you are a committed Christian, if you're really serious about your Christian walk, if you're serious about being a prayer warrior, if you're serious about being a woman who's walking in obedience to God's word, if you're serious about knowing God's word, wanting to witness, being someone who wants to be filled with the Spirit and all the dynamics of how that's going to look in your marriage and your family and where you work, you can know this. If you're committed, your enemy does not like it one little bit. And that is going to put you on a collision course with the adversary. Your life will intersect with the forces of hell if you really try to live for God. There's absolutely no question about it. He works hard at it. He is effective. He is wily. He is scheming. He moves to work powerfully against the child of God. I'm always so amazed at how he comes up with the craziest scenarios. And I think I would have never thought of that in a million years. He schemes against us. Now, we've learned in this book that as Christians, we possess tremendous resources. So I want to remind you of a few of our resources. And we got these from the first three chapters. And that was a long time ago. So let me just remind you about it. Here are some of them. You and I, we have all spiritual blessings in the heavenlies in Christ Jesus. You and I, we've been given a place in the Beloved. We've been granted forgiveness of sin. We've been made a child of God. We've been given knowledge and understanding. We've been made a part of this incredible mystery that was planned before the foundation of the world, that was not known in the Old Testament, and it's the church. We've been given the Holy Spirit. He's our engagement ring. He sealed us in Christ. We've been granted the power to do beyond what we can ask or think or imagine. We've been given the capability of expressing that power through the indwelling presence and filling of the Holy Spirit. We literally, in this world, represent the power of God. In us exists the very power which raised Christ from the dead, the very power which set him at the right hand of the Father, and the very power that made all principalities and powers to be under his feet. We have this tremendous resource. We are the people of God. And God has set us in this world, in this generation. This is our generation. This is our one shot to live for Christ. And he has goals he wants us to accomplish. He's got plans and purposes for his body, which he has designed. And you can know for sure the enemy will come against us. He will. He's pitted against Christians in every age. And so you have to recognize this. Don't let it blindside you. Be ready for the battle. Otherwise, you'll be victimized. Be ready for war. And be ready to live your life to the glory of God. So this morning, I'm just going to take the very first piece of the armor of God. And we're going to look at it. And it is the belt of truth. It is the belt of truth. Before I do that, I want to give you nine ways particularly, of how the enemy attacks us. See if you recognize some of these ways in your own life as we go through them. Number one, Satan undermines God's character and credibility. Satan undermines God's character and credibility. He comes to us, and this is what he tells us. You can't really trust God. I mean, really, do you really believe in God? I mean, really. His word is really not believable. I mean, he did it in the garden with Eve. He came up to Eve, and this is what he said. Has God said? He created doubt in her mind. Has God said you really shouldn't eat of that garden? And that caused her to doubt. And this is what he said. No, the reason that God doesn't want you to eat that fruit is because he knows that if you do, you'll be like him, and God just can't stand the competition. God is really holding out on you. God is really lying to you and Adam. Take that fruit. Look at that fruit. It's so good. Eat it. So while the Bible tells us that God is true and that Satan is a liar, Satan will come to you and he'll tell you, no, I am true and God is a liar. And so in our lives, what does this look like? We're tempted to worry. Do you worry? Why do you worry? Don't you have the promises of God? Don't you know God works everything together for good? Don't you know He's given you everything? He'll give you an escape in a circumstance, in a trial, so that you can endure. Don't you know these truths? But we worry. We fret. We fume. And we lose our control, all because we really don't believe God is able to deliver us out of our circumstances. And here's another thing we do. We question His love. We question His power. We question His mercy. We question His forgiveness. God really, really doesn't love me. If God really loved me, He wouldn't have let that happen to me. I mean, look at my marriage. It's crazy. Look at my children. They're not making the right decisions. So Satan pushes us to the place where we doubt the love of God. And this is how it was with me. I remember in my early Christian experience. I looked around, and I knew God loved other people. I believed that. And I knew God answered other people's prayers. But when it came to me, I just found it so hard to believe God loved me. I found it so hard to believe that God would answer my prayers. I just had problems with that. And so I had to put the armor on. I had to learn it's warfare. I had to learn that I had to learn who God was through His Word and that it was for me. It took years for me through the study of God's Word to know it's not just for everybody else. It's not just for those great people who lived in the Bible. It's not just for those great personalities in the Christian life that it's for. It's for you, Teresa. And so when you feel this doubt and this kind of thing, you know what? That's a huge red flag, and you're being attacked by the enemy. You got to stand, and you're in warfare. You got to come against that, because that's not from God. That is from your enemy. And if he can get you cowered down into some little corner where you're doubting God's love and God's word and everything else in the book, you are no good to him in the kingdom. You're defeated. I'm telling you, stand against it. Here's the second thing. Satan makes it hard to live the Christian life. He doesn't want your Christian life to be easy. Here's three ways he makes it hard. Number one, just outright persecution. Now, we don't have that. We don't. And that's the most extreme way. Number two, peer pressure. You know, you and I, we like being liked. And when we come out strong for God and we make some changes in our lifestyle, it tends to alienate people. And that's tough, because I like to be liked, don't you? And then number three, here's the one where I think we'll all really relate to. By making it easy to be a Christian. Or to live the Christian life. I don't know how to put it on your handout. Just making it easy. And I think that the hardest place to be hot for Christ is in the United States of America, and especially in the South. Because everybody's a Christian here. I don't know anybody who would tell me I'm not a Christian. I don't know anybody who would say to me, I don't believe in God. Because in the South, we're so nice. Bless our little hearts. And it's so easy. You see, there's no price to pay. And so we become the church that's married to the world. And the world gets so enmeshed in the church. I mean, how are we different than the world? Think about it. You don't realize that we're so caught up in this world and in the things of this world. Here's a third way. Satan confuses the believer with false doctrine. Satan confuses the believer. Now listen to me. What you believe in your heart to be true about God in theology, that's called doctrine, that will show up in how you live your life. So what I understand about God in His Word is very important. That's why Bible study is so critical. You've got to have it if you're going to have right doctrine. And so what you believe charts the course for how you live. And so Satan is just so busy. He's pumping out what the Bible calls doctrines of demons. Liberal theology, all kinds of crazy stuff. It will confuse Christians. You know, the Bible says we're like little sheep. We're gullible sheep. Sheep eat anything. And so you've got to watch what you're eating. You've got to be careful. It's huge in our day. Who you are studying the Bible under is so important, because you're like your teacher. You'll be like your teacher. And so Christians in our day are tossed to and fro, carried about by every wind of doctrine. I remember one day I was listening to this lady who claimed to be a Christian. She was a banker. She was from another part of the country. And I would see her every so often at bankers' meetings with my husband. And her dad had died. And so one meal we were sitting by each other and I just said to her, I'm so sorry about you losing your dad. She loved her dad. She was so close to her dad. And she said, oh, I am so excited. And she was listening to the Today Show. And she heard this clairvoyant who does with the dead. And she got so excited, she went right out and bought his book. And she was just like, I just believe I can contact my dad. I'm thinking, you're a Christian? And you are falling for this? Oh, you dumb little sheep. Get in the Word of God. You don't want to dabble in satanic things. That's what that was. That was pure satanic things. Here's number four. He tries to hinder our service to the Lord. Now, he wants to stop effective service. He does not like our Sunday school class. He does not like you coming. He's going to tell you all kinds of bad things about me to get you to get mad at me. He wants you not to come. And by the way, let me just say this. I'm going to hit it in a minute, in the next point. I want to say this. Understand, in your ministry, Satan will hinder you. So a lot of times I've heard people say to me, I teach a Bible study on Thursday morning, I just didn't come because it was just so hard. I just felt like God was saying that I should just wait. I'm like, are you kidding me? Wait? Don't you understand? That's the enemy. He doesn't want you to come. And I don't care what roadblock he puts in your way. You come because you've got to have the Word of God. You've got to have the Word of God. The longer you minister, does it get easier? No, it doesn't. It gets different. Because the longer you minister, you have a string of victories behind you, and they get sweeter, and they're more wonderful, and your confidence gets built up. And you have this past history upon which you're building your faith for the future. But it never gets easier. He's going to hinder your service until you die. So you know what? Just get ready. Just keep standing. Keep standing. Here's the fifth thing. He does all he can to cause division in the body. He wants to create fractures, factions, divisions. And that's why I say, if you've got a problem with me, come to me. I'm a big girl. I can handle your problem. If I say something that is offensive to you, you just don't know how I struggle sometimes with my Sunday school lessons because I don't want to offend anybody. But I want to teach you the Word of God. But I don't want to be offensive in any way. But did you know sometimes God's word is offensive? Sometimes God's word is convicting. Sometimes God's word is corrective. And sometimes God's word will cut you like a knife. Well, don't get mad at me. Get mad at God's word. But if you have a problem, don't get your feelings hurt and hole up and don't come to Sunday school. I mean, let's just be big girls. Let's talk out our issues. And I think this is so bad in the South. We don't deal with conflict very well. And so what we do is we get all these offenses and we put them in the dark under the table. And there they just have so much power in our lives. But if we just sit around the table and bring them out and put them out and say, here they are, let's deal with them. Then the light gets on them. And everything brought into the light gets resolved. And then God can use us. And you know what? I love what Gary Smalley says. He's one of my favorite writers. That the way to intimacy is through conflict. And so don't shun conflict. Conflict will build your lives together. It happens in a marriage. It happens in a church. I mean, we're all different. We're going to have conflict, aren't we? We're not going to always agree. But we have to deal with it rightly because Satan wants to create factions. We got to do all we can to maintain unity. Because Satan would rip us apart if he could. And if I could, I could tell you. Oh, the stories I could tell you. But I can't, because then that would be gossiping, and then you would think bad of other people and all. But you know what? It's just how he works. And this is huge with women. It's huge with women. Because we're such talkers. And we get with our friends, and we... And before we know it, we don't mean to get over into stuff like that, but we do. So we've got to guard our hearts. We've got to guard our words. They're powerful. And listen to me. Once they've gone out, you can't bring them back in. So guard your conversations. Watch the conversations you are drawn into. All right, here's the sixth thing. He urges us to trust our own resources. And this is so very subtle. He's caused us to think, you know, I've been Christian now for 30 years. I've done such a good number. Woo. Oh, 25 years. I'm good. I'm really good. Woo. Look at me. I am spiritual. They want me to pray. The preacher called me. You see, I can get all wrapped up in who I am. Think I've made it. Think I've arrived. Think I've got the Christian life down pat. I'm mature now. That's a very dangerous place to be. Let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. We dare not lean on our own understanding. We dare not lean on our own strength, our own insight, our own experience. You know what you and I've got to do? We've got to live the first beatitude. It's for life. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. And you know what? That means you're a destitute beggar. You are a cringing beggar before the throne of God. You can't even lift your eyes. You will not make it if he doesn't give you a handout. And everything you got is a total gift. And it was that way the day you were saved, and it's that way the whole Christian life. It's all by his grace. It's all by his gift of righteousness. I can reign in life through a gift, but it's only through a gift. I have nothing to bring to the table. And I've got to understand that, and that never changes in the Christian life, never. And that's why by humility and the fear of the Lord come riches and honor in life. You've got to humble yourself before God. You see, it's all of him. It's all of him. If you know what? If I'm victorious, it's all of him. I have nothing. Nothing. It's such a freeing place to understand that. Here's the seventh thing. I'm going so slow. I'm so sorry. He causes us to play the hypocrite, to be a phony, to not be real. How are you? Oh, I'm fine. I'm fine. Put on my mask. I'm just great. Things are wonderful. And therefore, I never deal with the issues in my life. That's a real Southern thing, too. I never get real. I never open up. I'm never truthful. I'm telling you what, we need each other, ladies. Go to James 5. And the one who is burdened, and it says sick there. Let him who is sick call the elders to pray. Well, you know that word sick is an interesting word. It's really not the word sick physically. It's the warrior on the battlefield who is so beaten down, he literally cannot get up. And so he calls the other warriors over. Help me, he says. And they pray for him and he gets strength. And you and I've got to learn to bear our souls with each other and pray for each other. We need each other. And you know, when I'm down, you come along and help me walk. And when you're down, I come along and help you. And together we're a mighty, mighty army. But Satan is so subtle. He won't let us be honest, share our burdens with one another. He doesn't like us to be needy. Here's an eighth thing. He makes us worldly. Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. Do you feel the world? And it's trying to press you into its mold. Do you feel it? It's telling you what to wear, how to fix your hair. It's telling you what to eat. It's telling you how to exercise. It's telling you everything. And I'm so sick of the world and the world system. It pulls us. It entices us. And we are so affluent in our country. I mean, just wait till you get to Guatemala. We live like absolute queens in this world. I mean, we go to Walmart and we get so perturbed if one little thing's not on the shelf. Oh, my goodness, I might have to go to Piggly Wiggly. Isn't that suffering for Jesus? I mean, really, we're so materialistic. Look at our closets. I mean, our closets are so full, we can hardly put another piece in, but we do. We're so much like the system. And yet, listen to what John says in 1 John. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passes away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abides forever. We have no business, ladies, listen to me, having anything to do with the world. It's passing away. And yet Satan is constantly pushing us into the world's mold. Here's the ninth thing. Satan wants to cause us to act in disobedience to what we know is God's word. In other words, you know what he does? He entices us into sin. It may be sexual sin. It may be sin in the social arena. But whatever it is, he wants us to disobey God. And I'll tell you why. In the Christian, sin gives a place of opportunity to him. And he can move in and build a stronghold in our lives. One huge place, unforgiveness. Unforgiveness. Huge place he builds a stronghold. Unforgiveness, greed, jealousy, all of those things. You've got to be aware of what he is doing. He wants us to disobey God. He has schemes. And this is where our battle lies. Well, how do we deal with it? And I'm just so excited to be the one to tell you. They're all dealt with in one simple way. Look at verse 13 again. Therefore, take up the full armor of God so that you will be able to resist in the evil day and having done everything to stand firm. You know what? Satan may be clever. He may be wily. He may have a cunning craftiness and deceitfulness. We saw that in Ephesians chapter 4. But you know what? Simply. If I learn to dress myself in the armor of God, that's all I need to do. It's that simple. That simple. I don't want to concentrate on my enemy and what is he doing and, oh my goodness, look how organized he is and, oh my goodness, he's so powerful. Oh, just a scourge. Oh my goodness. No. I just concentrate on, oh my goodness, look. At the power of my God. He's done everything I need. I'm gazing on your beauty. God, you've given me everything I need. And all I have to do is concentrate on how I'm dressed. I've got to be dressed in the armor of God. And that's what matters. Who cares where his attack comes from? Who cares if he's coming in crawling on his belly at you? Or if he's flying overhead in a plane? No matter how subtle his attack, no matter how blatant his attack, all that matters is that I have on my armor and that I'm standing firm. That's where my focus is to be. Now, the first piece of armor, finally, is the belt of truth. Let's talk quickly about it. And it says there, having your loins girded with truth. Now, this is very important. How many pieces of armor are there? Do you know?
Six.
Seven. Seven pieces of armor that we're going to be looking at. And you've got to have them all on when Satan and his hosts arrive if you're going to stand against the enemy. And you've got to start off by having your loins girded with truth. Now let's look at the word truth in the Greek. It can mean two things. A, it can mean content. Like the Bible is the content, the revelation of God. And it can also mean B, an attitude of truthfulness. In other words, integrity, honesty, sincerity. Now, Satan's going to come up to us with his schemes, and he's going to come up as a liar. He's false truth. We've got to gird ourselves with truth. That's why we've got to study, and know the Word of God. We've got to know what the truth is, so we'll recognize the lies. So if I'm going to be a warrior, I've got to know truth. I've got to wrap myself in truth. Now listen, in Paul's day, a Roman soldier wore a tunic. It was a big square piece of material. It had three holes in it, one for the head and one for each arm. And they would just put that over them. And what they would do is they would take the corners of it up and they would gird it all. You know, I bet they look really fat. I thought about this. There's no way I'm going to do that with a big belt, put all that stuff under. But anyway, I wouldn't have been a good Roman soldier. And so the idea is if you looked up there and you saw a soldier and his tunic was all girded up with his sash on. That meant he was ready. He was on duty. He was ready for Bible. For battle. Now you think about football games. They wear the tight clothes, have you noticed? You know why? Because they don't want anything flapping. They don't want anybody pulling them down in their plays. And they even have breakaway shirts where if somebody grabs their shirt, the shirt just falls apart. It's the same idea because back then they did hand-to-hand combat and you didn't want to do that and get tangled up in your tunic. So they would cinch it all up. Bill was in the service before we married and I remember when he went to boot camp. It was really tough. I mean, they take you. You give up all your choices. You're cut off completely from the world, your family, your home, your civilian life, and you wear what they tell you to wear. They cut your hair off. And I mean, if you're going to war, it's serious. And so a Roman soldier would gird up his tunic, and that would give him mobility and flexibility, and he would be able to move. Now, another thing about this belt is it would have a strap that went over it to the other side, and on that strap he would attach his sword, and then on the part that went up he would put his medals, where all his victories and everything. Now later on, when we get to the sword of the Spirit, which is what? The Word of God. We're going to see where we find truth. It's revealed in the Word of God. But where it all begins is we gird up with truth. We wrap our life in truth, and then we hang the Bible on our belt. And I think the main thrust here is the B of what I told you. It's the idea of truthfulness. We're going to wrap ourselves in this idea of truthfulness. Because if you take the Greek word here in the sense of content, I think when you get to the sword, that's really speaking of the content. So Paul is saying, put on your belt. Be ready. Have an attitude of commitment. Have an attitude that says, I'm ready for the battle. I'm dressed. I am alerted. It means you're serious. I look around, frankly, few Christians ever get the belt on. And I want to say that I think the best synonym that I want us to have for this belt of truth is this word, commitment. Another word would be preparedness. That's a little harder to say. You're committed and you're prepared. And I think what Paul is saying here is you've got to realize this is serious. This is war. Do it sincerely with the right attitude. Be a soldier. Have a heart for the battle. Endure hardness for the cause of Christ. And God is calling us for a disciplined, committed life of a soldier. Deeply committed to Christ in the very center of our beings. And so the call of the armor of the believer is for commitment at the very start. Realize this is war. Gird yourself up. Satan's going to come against us in all these ways. We're not going to know what to do unless we're ready to fight. How many times has something happened and it just totally blindsided you? You thought, where'd that come from? I'm totally confused. Be ready for those things. Now, how badly do you want to win? How badly do you want to win in the Christian life? I mean, are you satisfied just to go through the motions in your Christian life? Are you? I love this little saying. It's one of the Silks, Carolyn. And it says, only one life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. And I'm telling you this morning, God is calling you to be radical. God is calling you to be 100% committed. Ready for the battle, standing. Not lukewarm, hot for his kingdom. Not content with business as usual. Not mediocrity. I think so many times we just come to church week after week. We go home, nothing changes, nothing's different, attitudes are the same. We just keep coming, our commitment never changes, it never deepens. We've got to be committed to the fight. And listen, you're going to have to get mad. You got to have a righteous anger. You get mad at the evil that's going on in our day. I get so sick of the brokenness. I get so angry about things in this generation. I'm telling you, we are the most needy generation. And I'm angry about it. And it causes me to want to fight. And I want to stand in my family. I want to stand against Satan for my children and my grandchildren. I mean, I'm mad about it. I don't want to lose one of them. I don't. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to pray like I'll get out. I'm going to do everything I can do. I'm going to be as creative as I can. I'm going to put on that full armor, and I'm telling you what, I'm mighty for God standing in my generation for my family. I'm jealous for our church. I want our church to be red hot. I get angry about complacency and people who don't care, and maybe I'll come and maybe I won't. No, I can't help and I'm too tired. Forget it. You got to get serious about this battle. And you know what? I'm mad about it. I'm going to get on my knees and I'm going to pray and I'm going to fight. I'm going to put on the whole armor of God and I'm going to fight. I'm telling you, God is calling us to be radical, that He might be glorified in us, that we might stand as a lighthouse in this wicked and perverse generation, 1 Peter said, holding forth the word of life. This is our time to be mighty weapons in God's hands. Now, I don't want you to miss next week's lesson, because next week's lesson is all about the breastplate of righteousness. What is the breastplate of righteousness? Well, you're just going to have to come to find out. But I can tell you this, it's good. And I can tell you this, it's critical. Because it's not just putting on commitment, it's putting on the full armor. So you've got to understand every piece. So don't miss next week's lesson. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for the truth of your word, for all of your provision. Challenge us, stir us up, God, to be women who are dressed in the full armor of God, living for you in this generation. Thank you for your word. It's got everything we need. We should never lose, God, because there's no reason. You've given us everything we need. Help us to understand it, and help us to be obedient, Father. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. All right, I'll see you next week.